Anyway, there's a pretty complete outline attached to your materials where we went through and I think pretty much identified most of the significant tax developments during the last year affecting colleges and universities. So what we're trying to do here is a fairly difficult job, which is trying to kind of pick and choose from those as to ones that we think are worth talking about, and we come at it with our own perspective. You may come at it with another perspective. You may look at that list and say, man, how come they didn't talk about this one and this one? And that's just the way it is. So anyway, but I do recommend the outline for you just to get an overview of pretty much everything that happened in the last year. So as Dee said, we certainly wanted to at least touch upon the Tax Reform Act issues, provisions that came out, because they have, except for one, have pretty much been updated with new developments. So we're going to spend a little time on those, but as Dee said, some of them are going to be discussed later in the conference. Let me start off with the most simple one, which is the moving expense change. You know, prior to 2018, there was a deduction that employees could take for moving expenses if they changed their job. And there was a corresponding income exclusion for moving expense reimbursements. So if an employer reimbursed an employee for moving expenses that would have been deductible by the employee, that was considered to be a non-taxable fringe benefit. But what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act did was eliminated both the deduction and the exclusion for the years 2018 to 2025. So maybe in 2026 these may come back again. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. The IRS did issue a notice that basically said if the move occurred in 2017 but the expense was reimbursed in 2018, you can go ahead and claim the exclusion, but that provision expired last year, so it's really of no use to us now. All right. The next, and this was one of the major issues that came to us with tax reform, and it is going to be discussed later this afternoon, so I just want to spend a little bit of time on it, but it's 512A6, which essentially says that if an organization has more than one unrelated trade or business, losses from those activities can only be used to offset income from the same activity. So you can't do any more what you used to be able to do, which was to use loss activities to offset income from other business activities. This is effective for taxable years beginning after 12/31/17, but there is a provision that says if you had a net operating loss that occurred prior to January 1st, 2018, you can carry that loss forward into 2018 and future years to offset other income. So the big issue in this section is what constitutes an unrelated trade or business, or really what constitutes a trade or business. How do you determine whether something is or is not a separate trade or business? This has been an issue that has come up in a number of different code sections, 132, 162, 183, 469. There's case law, and there's all kinds of different factors and tests that have been used over the years to determine whether somebody is actually in a trade or business. So in order for 512A6 to apply, there has to be a trade or business in the first place. So the question is, how do you make that determination? The IRS issued Notice 2018-67, which was an attempt to give guidance in the whole 512A6 area. And in it, they said that if the organization makes a reasonable good faith interpretation as to what constitutes a trade or business, that will be deemed to be okay until such time as regulations are published in which the IRS may come at the issue with a little more detail. So then the question is, well, what constitutes a reasonable good faith interpretation? And the IRS suggests, but doesn't really say, I don't think, that if you go back to those other sections like 132 and 162 and 183 and try to use those principles here, they don't particularly like it. They say that in the notice. They don't say it will be unreasonable, but they don't say that they like it. And instead, what they do say is reasonable is this North American industry classification system, the NAICS, which breaks different trades or businesses into, I think, six-digit codes. So that is what the IRS has said in the notice will be considered to be a reasonable interpretation of what constitutes separate trades or businesses. One of the big issues in this area, if not the biggest issue in this area, is how do you treat partnerships and LLCs? This is an issue because under tax law, if a university is a partner in a partnership, the university is deemed to be conducting the activities that the partnership is conducting. So if you're looking at what constitutes a trade or business, you would say, well, we're conducting the trade or business that partnership is conducting. But that's not really, doesn't make sense sometimes, because you may just be investing. You may be a limited partner, maybe one of 1,000 limited partners in some partnership. You're not really in the trade or business of what that partnership is doing.